Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son, who's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends. Okay, so number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they're just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position.
But there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Getting settled in here for our program today. We're glad you're with us. If you'd like to join us on the air, it's 1-800-229-3000. We're in the studio here today. You know, when we come and we're in the studio, we're usually there all day long, and so we're glad that you tune in. Joining me today is one of just the most popular authors in America today, Dr. Henry Cloud, and speakers. Henry? New book, Necessary Endings. Dr. Jill Hubbard is considered by some, me, as the wisest woman on the air today.
And the most beautiful person in the studio.
Yes, that is true. And her book is The Secrets That Women Keep. And I don't have a book right now. But anyway.
name one or two of the secrets that women keep.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Women have secrets about their Christian marriages that they feel a lot of shame about.
Because it's not what you expect a
There's
Christian marriage to be.
There's a lot of lonely Christian women out there that feel like they can't say anything because they're married to this great Christian guy. So why are they so lonely?
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of women with sexual secrets where they feel like, you know, the guys have a lot of the sexual secrets, but some women have sexual secrets too.
Mm-hmm. And what about the issue? I've always thought this was a big deal. Comparison that women do their husband to somebody else.
Of their husband to somebody else?
Or anything.
Well, just that disappointment that a lot of women run into. Life doesn't match that ideal picture, and they're disappointed. And look, so-and-so has life.
It's interesting. If you look at all of the secular research that's been done on happiness, one of the categories that bubbles to the top of the differences in happy people versus unhappy people is that happy people basically do not compare themselves to other people in any dimension. Yeah. In fact, and unhappy people do. And in fact, when they go and interview the happy people and they ask them about how they compare themselves, what the researchers report is the happy people look at it like they don't know what they're talking about. Like it's just not in their DNA to compare themselves. And it reminds me of Galatians 6, you know, where it says not comparing yourselves to one another, but look at your own life, your own work, and be proud of it.
I mean, it. How many times do you hear an athlete say, I'm just going to run my race. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. And then they win, and they just ran their race. And that's what this is. Run your race. Take your course. Don't compare it to somebody else.
And the whole Bible is written that way. Yeah. The parable of the talents, for example. One got 10, one got 5, one got 2, or whatever.
You know, it wasn't equal.
It was not equal, and they're not graded according to the other one. The one that's 5 is graded according to what 5 should have become.
Right.
And that's true of all of us. What do our gifts and opportunities and lives, what are the, you know, sort
so
of
so are we using the things that God has given us?
Right.
And the wages paid to the vineyard workers. One guy starts at the beginning of the day, one guy about an hour of sunlight left, and they all get the same. Because they're comparing, they're miserable.
Comparing.
All right.
If we compared ourselves to Steve, how miserable would we be? I mean,
I
couldn't get out of bed.
I know, you're so right.
I think it's part of your joy right now. Anyway, we'll take a break and come back for more of New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000. Our website is newlife.com. You can find out about all of the things that we do there and or call us for some help at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food. I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Let's talk to somebody right now, such as Desiree from Ventura, California. Hi, Desiree. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. How could we help you today?
I love your show. My question is, that I had a long-term on-off love-hate relationship with a gentleman.
Yes.
That I was engaged to at one time. And we've been apart for a year. I asked him a year ago if he wanted to see counseling about the situation, and he didn't want to at the time. And I've heard on prior radio stations where somebody called in and they said they had had an on-off relationship, and you said to give it a year because sometimes those love-hate or on-off situations where they are apart and then they get together and then they get married and then it all crumbles.
Can I interrupt and ask a question here? When you say a long-term, how many years were you dating and then friends or not friends or serious or not serious?
Why? It started out dating, then we were just friends.
Like for how long?
Right. And then,
now, how long?
Then he was my roommate for a while.
How
like,
long?
Stuff like that.
How long?
So, since the end of 2003, and that's what it was.
Okay, 2003 until now, you guys have been off and on.
A year ago.
Okay.
And
you dated how long in those years?
Well, what happened was, hold on one second, shut the door and give mommy some privacy. Thank you.
Multitasking mommy.
Get my son from school, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
How old is your son?
10.
10. So 2003 to 2011 is 8 years, possibly 9. So how long were you divorced before this other guy came into the picture?
I was only married for a month.
For a month?
To Matthew's dad, but maybe I have the years wrong because my son was 3.5 years old.
3.5 when you met this
Started
other
guy. Started dating.
Okay.
He just turned 10 in September.
All right.
So was it 2004?
Okay. So what is the question?
The question is, a year ago when we broke up, he didn't want to go to counseling and work through the difficulties that we had.
What were the difficulties in a sentence? Can you just say what the difficulties were?
It started out that we had a relationship. And then both of us backslid in, 2004, right away after we met each other. Not right away, but, the first part of the relationship, we got to know each other, and then we started backsliding. We broke up, and we were friends. During the point that we were friends, it seemed like he took up, I let him take up, 99% of my free time. So he was the only gentleman in the picture. But when we would go out together, he would, I felt like he was flirting with other women and stuff like that. And okay. his thing was, well, we were only friends and stuff like that.
Okay.
So by the time...
Go ahead.
By the time he actually asked me to get engaged with him, I was just tired of being around him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I've had it. I don't want to be treated like this anymore. And then he came back and asked me to marry him. But I didn't 100% trust him then anymore.
Yeah.
So emotionally, you're saying it was hard for you to separate during the on-off periods. Like during the off periods, he was off, but you really weren't. You were still emotionally tied in.
Exactly.
Well, and as friends,
he was still around me, like okay.
yeah.
And
so there's no room for somebody else.
As friends, were you involved physically?
Not as friends.
Just during the official dating time.
Repented of that. We were in the sense of that we would sometimes hold hands and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So he was like almost like playing a game with me,
right.
like.
Right. So what is the question?
So my question is, we've been separated for like a year, and I wondered if I've asked some other people, and they said, just let it go. Just let it go. If he was emotionally ready to work through the problems that you had in the past,
okay.
he'd look you up.
Mm-hmm. So what is the question?
You got a question for us then?
Yeah, that's my question. My
okay.
question is, should I look him up? It's been a year. Should I look him up and
why?
See,
well, just curious. I have a few questions. Why?
Because I still care about him.
Well, do you look up everybody you care about? I mean, you care how?
I would still like to see if we could like work a life out together.
Well, okay,
or
hang
I
on, hang on,
with
hang
my
on,
life
hang on.
A necessary
can,
ending, or
can you hear me?
Yes.
Why would you like to see if you can work out a life together with him? Why? Why?
What about him is?
Yeah.
Is
what
wonderful.
Is it that you can't live without? What is it that you want to join your life to in this man?
Well, I enjoyed like how we prayed together and certain things that we did together.
Now, how did that work after you had been out and he was looking at other women and
you said you couldn't stand to be around him?
Yeah. How was the prayer then?
Say that again.
Well, I'm making a point that it seems like to me if you were friends and he was going out with you and he was looking at other women and. That it would be very difficult to have a meaningful prayer time with him after that.
Right. Yeah, he corrected that behavior about a couple of years ago. That part of it he corrected. But
okay,
I'm
sorry, Desiree?
Yes.
Okay, so you've not talked to him for a year? You've really been separate from him for a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, almost a year, like probably a month and a half.
And you don't text him, call him, email
him? No, no. I don't even know his phone number. We live in a small town,
okay.
and I try to avoid him, actually.
Okay, but it's been a year, and it sounds like maybe there isn't somebody else that's special, and you did give a lot of yourself to him and a lot of time.
A lot of years.
Yeah, and a lot of years,
I did.
Right?
I purposely not allowed anybody else in my life to give myself
okay.
some time to heal and work on myself.
Well, what if you what if in giving yourself some time to heal, you included in the recipe of time to heal, healing your people picker,
mm-hmm.
and as part
right,
of
exactly.
giving yourself time to heal, you get part of that time to heal is that you go out with a lot of different kinds of people and find out, gosh, maybe there are men that can pray with you and not prey upon other women at the same time.
Right. And that was the thing is that I'm at the point after a year, like there's some there's some godly men
okay.
that have
yeah.
like asked
go
know,
with
I've
them.
Never I've only gone in groups.
Well,
I've never gone alone with anybody anywhere.
Maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a degree of safety, but if you've gone through the pain of being separate for a year
mm-hmm.
and now you're ready to date, don't just run back to him because
yeah.
he's comfortable
okay.
and you already know him.
Now imagine this. You put all your money in a bank and the bank goes under and you don't get your money back except for that part that was FDIC insured or whatever that thing is. Then the question is, a year later, should I go back and put more money in that bank? Well, anybody doing that, you'd say, well, that's ridiculous. What? Why would you do that unless you knew there was new management, new ownership,
right,
that had a record and all that?
Right.
But this guy isn't calling her. He's not seeking her out.
Well, that's another good point. In that, mm-hmm, if she were saying, okay, here's why I don't want to be with you, Bubba. Because you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and those are real legitimate reasons. Then Bubba goes away for a year. Bubba gets struck
Bubba
by
gets
lightning.
Help.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, my gosh, I have this and this and this, this issues in my life.
Right.
He goes into recovery. He gets spiritual direction, whatever it is. As part of his making amends, he would either go, wait a minute, this is what she wanted. Now I'm an honest, real guy. I'm going to call her up and say, I'm him. I've become the one you were looking for.
Or at a minimum, he would call and say, I'm so sorry. I was looking at all those other women and
right,
stuff when we were together.
Even as your friend.
Yeah, disrespecting you. But none of that has happened. And so that's why we're saying it is time to move on and enjoy your life.
Well, at the very least, to be with some other guys so you have something, some kind of basis, a foundation,
right,
for making this major decision. Not just what you've done for the last
year. You
ought
to be with the one that stands out in a crowd.
Yeah.
And maybe he
a crowd
will
of one is not a crowd.
After
so it's easy
time
for him to stand out in your head right now.
Right.
Because he's the only one in there.
Yeah. And you know what? It is okay for a woman to ask a man out. That's not what we're talking about, is saying, hey, you want to go get some coffee or something. But when it's the woman pursuing the man and
where he's at 8 years.
I'm telling you, you're going to be pursuing the rest of your life. You're mm-hmm, going to be trying to drag him here and push him there, and it's just not the way to go.
Also, one other thing.
Okay.
I think that there's a very common dynamic that happens, and that is that she is trying to figure out whether to go back with him or not based on one thing and one thing only, her attachment to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your attachment to people is the worst possible gauge,
isn't that the truth,
that you can ever use. What you've got to use is your values and your standards and what you want in a relationship. And then you say to the person, I'm looking for someone who can connect and emotionally responsible and respects me and has a life and has done their tax returns and, you know, all that mm-hmm, good stuff,
mm-hmm,
relationship with God, no, no, no. Now, I'd like for you to be that person, but if you're not, that's the person I'm looking for.
Right.
And then he has to self-select and decide whether he wants to step up. You can't use whether or not you're attached to him.
Yeah.
That doesn't, no, because okay, then what you do is, because you're attached to him, you throw the standards out the window,
mm-hmm,
and you try to make it fit, and it hadn't fit.
No. She's a bright lady. I'm praying she moves on. I'll send you Henry's book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. Jay from Hyattsville, Maryland, WAVA, and we will be there tomorrow night doing our radio rally, and Thursday night in the D.C. area. If you're around, please come and join us. And Jay, you've joined us right now.
Hello, how y'all doing?
Great. What's going on, Jay?
Well, my question basically is, I've been married for 10 years. Me and my wife separated last month. Unfortunately, we had two kids. She decided to leave.
Why did she leave?
Well, basically she told me and the family that she needs time for herself. And the thing is, she was diagnosed with breast cancer in July, and I stuck with her through the treatments and everything. And it seems that throughout the whole process, we was getting further apart. We was arguing a lot more, and we was getting very distant. But the thing is now, she basically told me throughout the 10 years, she told me and the family that for the 10 years, she's been very unhappy, and she just needs some time. Now, I'm the type of male that we've been to many counseling, church counseling, any counseling you could have, we've been through. And we're Christian, went to church every day, and, I mean, she makes the situation seem more worse than it actually is.
All right. So what's the question here?
The question is, during this time of healing, I'm trying to figure, because we both have a mortgage together, I can't do it by myself. There's no communication. I mean, we're having a struggle with kids. She's not letting me see the kids like I should. I've been a father for the whole 10 years. Mm. I'm wondering how long can I continue to try to stay in a marriage where the other person is, I feel, is being selfish and is not trying to work together.
Well, we can help you with this. We can help you, and we're going to do that right after this. Because there's separation, and then there's separation. We want to talk about separation. We'll be back for more of New Life Live. You want to join us on the air, 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Jay, it seems like to me that you guys are separated, but separation without an agenda and a plan often leads to more separation versus...
Exactly.
Okay, so is she willing to put together with you some kind of plan that would help you guys with healing the past, accepting the reality of today, and moving toward the future?
Basically, the only plan was we both get our individual counseling, and then later on down the road, eventually we will go back to our church and go through couples counseling. But, I mean, at this point, it's no communication.
Yeah.
Anytime we have communication, it's a big argument. I mean...
Right, which is the problem. Most times, if not Jill, I'd like to hear your opinion on this, but I would almost say all times. If people are getting individual counseling in a problematic marriage, generally what happens is they're getting individual counseling and they're trying to come out of the pain of that marriage, and they're talking about the other one and they're blaming the other one and all of that kind of stuff. And people tend to grow more comfortable and feeling better apart because they're away from the pain and the conflict of having to work on it together. So when you're getting individual counseling, what I like to see is that there is a marriage counselor in the picture who's trying to be a bridge and hold all of that together. And like Steve said, this separation needs a structure. It needs a plan. Separation in the service of getting back together and reconciling, as it's servicing that goal, would have specific kind of milestones, specific goals, specific activities. Yeah.
Yeah. So to just have it open-ended and say eventually.
Yeah, when I feel like it, you know.
Yeah. And Henry, I agree. I think there has to be a marriage, you know, therapist in there coming up with the plan.
And right. If she's not willing to take a phone call.
Exactly.
That's not really working together.
No. Yeah, I would suggest some glue in here. And if she won't do that, then I think you got to use whatever leverage you have, because number one, and we're just assuming, you know, everything you're saying is sort of like it is, and she doesn't have any real grounds for this or reason other than she, quote, needs her space.
Right.
But the thing about the kids really disturbs me. And if she won't, quote, let you see the kids, then your kid, you've got to be an advocate for your kids, because your kids also need their dad. And that may be, it goes to the point where if the church can't help, you know, that's where a Christian family attorney can help you. Because separated people can have agreements and who spends time.
Yeah, on what grounds can you not see the kids?
Yeah. That's got to be usually court ordered.
And it kind of sounds like, you know, she went through cancer and you guys have had a lot of problems, and she's saying life's too short, and it sounds like she's looking for a way out.
Yeah, you know, you reach a point where you think, okay, God, answer my prayers and stuff, but everything is pointing to there is no connection. There's no coming back here. No plan.
Right. And the thing that I would kind of be asking somewhere, you know, she goes through cancer. She needs time by herself. She needs time alone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what happens is somebody goes through an illness, and sometimes it makes them feel very scared. Yep. Obviously, it makes them feel really dependent, and that's not comfortable. So they'll go hyper-independent, not need anybody. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it could be something like that somebody needs to understand and help her to get healed of for her sake, absolutely, as well as the marriage.
Right, and I wonder what family and friends are saying around you. Are they supporting her? Are they supporting you? You know?
Yeah.
Do you
all right.
Have people on each side.
Okay, I hope something we've said is helpful. I'm sorry you're in a dilemma here, and I don't know how to get you out of that dilemma when she won't even take a phone call. And I just pray that you'll get some counseling for yourself and get some direction and comfort throughout this. The kids, you know, people say all the time, should you stay together for the kids? I say, absolutely.
Do
whatever you need to pick an excuse, stay together, but get some help in staying together. I want to talk to Victoria from Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Victoria.
I'm a 22-year-old woman who's re-entering the dating world, and I've read your books, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping and Avoiding Mr. Wrong, and rereading those. And from listening to you guys, my mom has encouraged me to get to know 20 different men the way you got to know 20 different women, Mr. Arburn. And basically my question is, what advice, wisdom, tips, how did you protect yourself? What can you give somebody who's going to embark on that journey?
Great, great question. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question first?
Sure.
What does re-entering the dating world mean at 22?
Like, basically,
where did you go?
And
where'd you go that you have to re-enter?
I kind of stayed single for a while because I as you guys call it, I don't have a good people picker. And I've had very bad relationships, and I've taken a break for a while.
What kind of relationships did you pick, and how long ago did you stop picking them?
It was probably not very long ago, and I've been more open with my parents and everything like that. And there are relationships where basically I knew the guy was not a good guy for me, but because I was so attached and he felt comfortable, I stayed in a relationship.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a quick question. Did you go to college? Are you out of college? Are you in college? What's with that?
I am out of college and working full-time in a doctor's office right now.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. What kind of doctor?
Can I ask her? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. Cool.
Let me ask you a question before the break.
Okay.
This attachment hunger that lives inside of you that would cause you to do poor people picking. I want you to tell us what you've done and what you're doing to fill your tummy up so that the next guy that comes along won't be the next guy that comes along.
All right. We'll take a break and come right back for more.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Jill Hubbard, talking to Victoria, and wants to know where to get those 20 dates. And Henry, you were...
Well, she wanted to know how to protect herself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to protect yourself if you got... You know, this attachment hunger inside. It's sort of like, you know, if somebody should not go grocery shopping when they're hungry, right?
So, yeah.
So what have you done about this neediness inside?
Now I've, for the past year, I've kind of isolated myself and not been in good community. I've went to a new church that has a good, strong singles community.
Yeah.
I'm currently getting to know more Christian women that I haven't, and I've been open and honest with my parents, which I haven't in the past, and asking them for their advice and help because they know me better than I know myself.
Okay. Well, let me, with all, I want you to hear this, and I'm going to be the big brother here, okay?
Okay.
That's not enough.
Okay.
Because I'm glad you're plugged into a church, but what happens when we go to church? You know, we see people and hear the sermon, stand out on the patio and have a little, you know, coffee and donuts, right? There's not a lot of weeping with those who weep that happen out in the foyer. There's not a lot of uncovering what's in the darkness and bringing it into the light and having somebody hold that pain and connect with that pain and encourage you and build new skills and even with your parents, and especially with your parents, probably at your age, the developmental path would be to establish, you know, the sourcing of your life with community and peers. So I would want you in a deep sense of community. You know, I know you're getting to know some other women. You want that circle of friends. It's very important. But I would also want you in kind of a deep healing group, you know, a support group where you're going through.
I am in Celebrate Recovery.
There you go. Okay. Now we're talking. Okay.
For codependency.
Right. There you go. Now your menu's getting, you know, pretty good. So you get in that, you get in another group, maybe you have a therapist, and then in that banded together, there's your protection. If you go back to the book, remember there's a chapter in there called Get Your Team Together and another chapter called Tie Me to a Tree. Remember those two chapters? You want your team together so you can go out on a date and come back to your group and say, okay, I went out with this guy. They say, what was he like? And you kind of give the review, and then they say, and then he wanted to do this. What'd you tell him? Well, you know, I felt tempted. Oops, you know. And so you process this and you get stronger. So don't go out there till you're got your team together.
Yeah,
and
you
that's
don't
where your
date
safety
in isolation.
Net. Right.
Yeah. Now, okay. To answer the question, as most people know, when I was single, Henry and John, I say most people, if you listen a lot, they challenged me to date 20 people before I would settle on one person.
And you got your team together.
I got my team together, had a lot of support, a lot of accountability. And I ended up marrying number three. But I'm really glad that I dated all these people.
But you went all the way to 20.
I went to 20 because I wanted to be sure that I didn't say, wow, here I was single, had all this opportunity, and all I did was date three people, and then I'm done. So it was really a very, very good thing. So I think your mom is really helping you a lot. I think you ought to get on some kind of service, you know, whatever it is, a dating service, and I think you should do a good job of having a profile there, and you should see if there's somebody within a 50-mile radius that you might be interested in. I think you need to find out what is the hobby I love the most or would I like to do the most, and go do that hobby, because you'll meet people who are also learning, whether it's dancing or sculpting or painting or whatever. I think you ought to get the application for Groupon. And when Groupon buys tickets to the local theater at $100 ticket for $10, go and join that group. And you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Groupon.
Yeah,
okay.
Get involved in life.
Yeah. Volunteer. Take a college class and get back to college. Okay. And the support group thing with Celebrate Recovery. My whole point is this. You get the people around you, and then you go live your life. You're going to meet a lot of people.
Okay.
Especially
okay. Thank you so much.
Volunteering, and you see stuff in the community, the 5K runs and all that. You go do those. You get out there and do it, but you got your friend with you, and you're reporting back to your support group.
Yeah, and as soon as you meet someone, you don't drop all those activities.
Or the other people you're meeting.
Right, right. You incorporate, you know, as it moves along, you incorporate that person so that all the people who know you and are your team can meet the person and have a say-so.
I'm glad you called, Victoria.
Thank you so much for your advice, everyone.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible. That'll really be a great tool for you there in Celebrate Recovery. And anybody else, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. I'm talking to Martha right now. She listens on KKLA in Los Angeles. Hello, Martha. Welcome to New Life Live.
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
Great. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just don't know which direction to go. My sister has called me regarding my brother, and my brother drinks too much, but he's also hooked on pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wants to have some kind of an intervention, but I really think we have to have a plan.
Well, you do need a plan if you're going to do an intervention. An intervention without a plan isn't really an intervention. It's nagging.
Exactly. We just don't even know what
plan
which
nagging.
Direction
plus,
to go.
Plus, if you guys were going to do that, how many alcoholics have you done interventions on?
Well, the problem is he's gone to a 12-step program, but then he always bails out because he says he knows that they're all just playing games and nobody's really telling the truth.
And who does he go move back? Who does he go move back in with when he gets out of that treatment? Where does he live?
He lives. My mom.
Mm-hmm.
So your mom's going to have to be part of this intervention.
How old is the boy?
He's in his 50s.
Boy's in his 50s.
Lives with mom? Why does he live with mom?
Well, because, you know, he's gone through a divorce. And
a lot of divorced people have apartments.
Always ends up back.
Yeah, but why does he live? Why does he live with mom? Why does he have his own place?
Maybe mom needs an intervention.
Right. She's got to be part of this.
I don't know. She's kind of up there in years, and I think she would just go.
She's not too much up. She's not too much up in years to pay for his living, right?
Right.
So the point we're making here is whoever has leverage in his life is going to be part of the formula of whether the intervention works or not. Right?
Okay. Look
at it this way. Let's say that you needed some money, and there's two banks, and you go to Bank A, and Bank A says, okay, we'll be glad to give you a loan. And here's what we want. We want you to put so much in collateral. We want you to make payments on a certain date. We want you to show us all your finances weekly. We want you to come in for a meeting and do all this stuff. And you can go down to Bank B and say, I need some money. They go, sure, what do you want? Need more after that?
Right.
Come on back, I'll give you more. And it's, see, as long as Mom is Bank B, mm-hmm. or whoever else is going to enable him, that then you've kind of lost the power, or some of the power of the intervention. Doesn't mean it can't happen and it can't work, but you need to really get everybody on board here who has power in his life.
And that requires, I think, a really delicate conversation with Mom. It's not going to be easy to get Mom to see that maybe she's housing him out of guilt or fear or whatever, and that it really at 50 it's time for him to be back out on his own. All right. Okay, so hold on. We'll put you in touch with somebody that can help you with that intervention. And, you know, intervention is for those situations that are impossible. People say, it's impossible. I can't get – well, you do the intervention, because the intervention also involves what happens when they're ready to bail out of treatment. That's all part of the plan.
It's all part of it. And you know what's interesting is intervention, what – you know, it's a technical term.
Mm-hmm.
Probably,
mm-hmm.
what, in the 60s when they started studying alcoholic systems. Mm-hmm. And so did the term codependent enabler. Go back to the first interventionist and the first, you know, rehab artist, which would have been Moses. In Leviticus, for example, he says that we are to rebuke our neighbor frankly. Do not show partiality, whether somebody's needy or powerful, but set limits and tell them the truth. He says, because if you don't, you share the guilt of his sin. So whoever's not doing the intervention and setting limits, that's the enabler, mm-hmm. that's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then go all the way over to Matthew 18. You talk about, you know, the path for an intervention. You talk to him one-on-one. If that doesn't work, what do? You turn up the, you get two or three more to, and the technical word there in the Bible is to bind whatever this is. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound. And that's not talking about demons. And
right.
It's talking about people coming up with a boundary and saying, I'm going to bind this illness, mm-hmm. as a group. And then it says, if they don't come around then, you separate from them.
Right.
And that's what every intervention ends up doing.
Yeah.
You can come to treatment or you can go on your own path.
That's right. No in between. But boy, I've seen those interventions cave when somebody just can't stand to let it happen. We'll be back after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert.
Out of these ashes,
if there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th.
Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. Let's talk with T from Los Angeles. KKLA is the station. Hi, T. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I listen to your show every day. I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. I've been so blessed by listening to you guys.
Well, thank you for that.
How could we help you?
I was calling because I wanted to know if I made the right decision by taking my husband back.
Okay.
We've been together for 11 years,
mm-hmm.
and we were separated for a little over a year.
Okay.
Why
did you separate?
He was very abusive in any fashion that you can think of.
Okay. he was physically abusive to you?
Physically, emotionally, verbally, sexually, just
all right.
And, any of those.
And what did he do to earn your trust to where you would get back together with him?
We went to some counseling while we were separated.
Mm-hmm.
But the counselor refused to see us again because his temper was so explosive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was our pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So he did some counseling with my dad.
So I'm kind of getting the feeling he didn't really do anything before you guys moved back in together. He didn't change much, or
he did. He changed a lot.
Okay, good.
Actually,
okay.
He changed a lot.
All right.
Okay, so he changed a lot, and you're asking us. You don't know whether or not you did the right thing. Why are you questioning it? Help us understand.
Because it still seems like almost that he hasn't had to accept responsibility, you know. When we talk about our separation or something like that, or we have, you know, if it ever comes up, he says things as though I did something to him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I put him out when
right.
he actually left. Like I tried to divorce him, but he actually served me divorce papers. You know what I mean?
Wow, a lot
and
of projection.
So, I'm sorry?
A lot of projecting onto you things that you're saying he did.
Right.
Blaming you.
And so, right. And so he has changed, you know, a lot. He, as far as being controlling and demanding and
yeah.
all of the things that were going on, he's changed a lot in those areas.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that he hasn't, but
right.
we're getting ready to make a big move.
Yeah.
What's the question for us?
My question is, did I do the right? I don't know if I did the right thing. I'm not sure.
Okay, because you're having doubts now that you've done it? You've already done it, right?
Right. I've already done it.
So why are you doubting?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because the conversations we have been recently, you know, about our separation,
okay.
where he's been blaming
well,
you for our separation.
Let me ask you a question. Would being able to communicate about the separation in a way that satisfies you, where he takes ownership and all of that, would that be a requirement for you to living together?
You mean as far as our getting along, or
no? In other words, if you said if you said for you know, he can only live with me if he communicates.
No.
Well, then,
no, it wouldn't.
Then, okay, so then that you answered your question, right? Now, what remains to be seen, though, is what steps can you guys take to greater intimacy? And greater intimacy requires each person to be in a process of taking ownership and, you know, understanding the other person and developing empathy and things like that. And that's usually the kind of things that happens in good counseling and also maybe in a good couples group where couples are learning to do that and supporting each other. So you've kind of answered the question about the separation. Maybe it happened a little too quickly, and you couldn't use the leverage that you would have had to kind of make him do some of those things. But that's where you are now, and it sounds like that's what you need.
Here's, go ahead, Joe.
Oh, well, it sounds like you had a plan for the separation, which is good, but you haven't had a plan for the moving back in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't all stop when he moves back
right.
in.
And my advice is, T, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, make it the right decision. Rather than questioning whether or not it's the right mm-hmm. decision, you go make it the right decision. And you try this, and if that doesn't work, you try that. You get some help for yourself and move this thing along. But work with him where he is and be sure you applaud him for where he's made the progress. But transform this thing.
And I think that you need to consider what you still need from him, because I think that's stirring up some of your doubts.
Yeah. All right. Now, we're going to do another program, tape another program right after this. So if you're on the line, please hold on, and we'll get to your call. Everybody, I think we can get to everybody that's on there. So please hold on. You're listening to New Life Live. We are a listener-supported ministry, and boy, do we ever love our faithful supporters. And it is beyond us the kind of sacrifice that some people make to give to this ministry. And we thank you for that. If you've never given, maybe God's nudging you a little bit to come along and be generous and give. Don't respond to my voice, but respond to the nudge from God. Whenever I ask somebody to support our ministry, I know that either God was there before me or not. And so I just have to be the one to give the opportunity when God's already done the work of the heart. And if that's the case with you, call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can find our address at newlife.com and give online at newlife.com. May 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. is the first ever Through It All and Better Than Ever Marriage Conference with Dr. Dave Stoop and his wife Jan and Milan Yurkovich and his wife Kay. I'll be there to start and wrap it up. It's going to be a great time. In July, we have our New Life Weekend in Philadelphia, and that'll be a great time. Every Man's Battle, March 25th through the 27th. And I pray that you will call right now if somebody in your life, including yourself, is struggling with sexual integrity. You try to figure it out, you try hard to do better, and you find yourself right back in the same place because it's so powerful. You need help. You need other guys to come alongside and help you with this, and that's what happens at the Every Man's Battle Workshop. Guys that are embarrassed and humiliated and wish they weren't there, don't think they deserve to be there, by the time it's over with, they're ready to form some kind of national camping club and spend their life together out in the wilderness. It is amazing what happens in the bonding and connection there. Also, tomorrow night and Thursday, I'm in the D.C. area at the WAVA radio rallies. On Thursday, I'll be doing a pastor's appreciation lunch with WAVA. And so please go to the website, newlife.com, and find out what we're doing. When you support our ministry, we send you a copy of How We Love, Milan and Kay's new book, How We Love Our Kids. And it's really a great book for essentially parent rescue and or parenting rescue. You could rescue yourself right here with this book, How We Love Our Kids. It's the follow-up book to How We Love, which has really helped so many people discover the role they're playing and what to do about it in their marriage. A lot of lights come on when people read that. Well, my thanks to Dr. Henry Cloud. Henry Cloud's latest book, Necessary Endings. And if you're struggling with nipping something right in the bud that needs to stop, you know you're dragging it on and it needs to
or
go
maybe
away.
Way past the bud.
Way past the bud. That's right. At
the
roots. At the roots. Necessary Endings at newlife.com. And Dr. Jill Hubbard is the author of The Secrets Women Keep. You can find all of that there. And don't forget, when you support us buying one day of programming for $110, your one day in your area, we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible for your gift. Until next time, have a great day, have a great life, have a new life. See you then.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.